SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Only place in football where the offense is always on the field is on Moneyline, with the two best hosts in radio, Donnie Wrightside.
If anybody wasn't watching, listen, I don't know what you were doing.
And Kevin Walsh.
Forget act like you've been there before.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Oh, the best job of your day now officially underway. Get those dancing shoes on right now. I gotta come on. I need something here. Come on, man. Let's go. Come on. It's dancing shoes, Kevin. Tonight, the official start of the NCAA tournament. One good game, one bad game. And I got a bone to pick already off the bat. You want me to pick a bone right off the bat, Kevin?
Yeah, sure.
About tonight's action. Now, before I upset, like, you know, Ben Stevens and I tell him, what are we doing in Dayton? LA, Vegas. Like, I was telling him first, like, this isn't even the beef. Like, St. Francis, as I was saying, you don't get to go on spring break when you're playing basketball. You got basketball. Tell him about the Vegas. They get hammered, game number one. You stay in there an extra day or two. Perfect send-off for the season. Like, there's no prize going to Dayton in the middle of Ohio. But that's not the effort that I have here that I want to, like, expend my energies on. It's tonight's action where you say to yourself, we got one game tonight. There's two, but we got one. Mm-hmm. 6:40 p.m. start. Why is that not Carolina? Why is that not the Carolina game? You want to talk about doing numbers, Kevin? Because you know how this goes. 6:40 p.m. tip. It's going to be delayed, that second game, which is scheduled to tip at 9:10, which means 9:30. What are we doing? What St. Francis and Alabama State late? Hoophead junkies, they'll watch, they'll love it, they'll bet it, they'll enjoy it. The rest of the country, why are we waiting for this second game? I don't get it.
To be fair, If you want to attack this from the honest stance of what is best for you to watch it, you're right.
Everybody. Everybody.
But Donnie, but if you, okay, fine. But if you want to attack it from a ratings perspective, they obviously have this correct.
They don't
obviously
have
it correct. They obviously have this correct. Donnie,
they don't.
As
they don't.
Nobody then would watch the 9:30 tip 16 verse 16. It's two games, Donnie.
Nobody wants the first game. Nobody. Yeah, but there's not a single person that won. Outside of the hardcore gambler, that game should be like blacked out. And they'd be like, you know, play at the same time as Carolina. We'll put them both at 7:30. How about that?
Again, like, look, you want to go on a crusade, get rid of the 16 play-in. You can do that. But if you're going to attack this from a ratings perspective, they have the order correct, because otherwise you are going to destroy one of your games for not that much reward.
But you want the bigger impacted game where everybody would watch.
No.
Everybody would watch Carolina. I'm telling you right now, Kevin, I don't think I make it to the Carolina game tonight.
You won't make it to the Carolina game.
Shame.
You won't.
There you go.
But that's fine. They now will get a bigger audience for game number one. They will still get a huge audience for game number two. It's a game involving San Diego State, so it gets their West Coast people in front of the television.
Tiny market compared to the rest.
But again, but it's still, it's an overall product. You are, again, you're upset because you're going to go to bed, and that's fine. But
if you're not attacking this
from what would be best for the overall situation.
Well, then, yeah, but having said that, then why are we putting games on Thursday and Friday at noon then? Should we just not do that in NCAA basketball? Like, because you're limiting your crowd. Like, put them, like, you know what I mean? We can have them late as can be.
No, but it's both directions, though. It's limited, Donnie, because the other end of it, what you would say, stop with the 10 o'clock tips on Thursday and Friday, too.
Yes. Yes, correct. I would stop with those as well.
No, so it's both sides of the equation. Your counterpoint doesn't work because it's even playing field. It's 12 a.m. It's noon tips and it's 10 at night tips.
But see, I don't think St. Francis Alabama State moves the needle for a majority of the country. Honestly, I don't think people are rushing home from work on the East Coast to make sure they see that game. I don't think they care about it.
It's not about rushing home. It is the
but
first
they would for the other one.
It is the first quote unquote tournament game, and the numbers that game will do in that window is significantly bigger than it would if you switched the start times around.
Because, again, the junkies will still watch the second game. Hoopheads will still watch the second game.
But you
wouldn't.
The majority
of the public is going to be fast asleep.
Let's put it like this. I'll put it to you like this.
Correct.
If I switched them, you wouldn't watch 1 second of the night game. You now tonight will watch
maybe
a second of the night game. No.
Wrong way to do it, though. That's wrong.
No, it's not.
It shouldn't be like that. It shouldn't be, because you want maximizing the dollars in the audience. And as I said again, St. Francis, Alabama will have a lead in. Nobody talk about like, oh, late night, hey, 11 o'clock news leads right into Johnny Carson. They love that because you keep the audience. The audience will stay with St. Francis and Alabama State the same way they would watch it in game number one, because most people still want to watch the Hoops action. But for people that on the East Coast, again, for people that don't understand, the majority of the country resides East Coast and Central Time. Mountain Time and Pacific, minuscule compared to the East. That's who you need to watch out for. San Diego State fans, they're going to watch it regardless anyway. They're in San Diego. Doesn't matter what time. It's like the Dodger fans watching at 3 a.m. today for baseball. We'll get into that in a second. But for me, just to look at, there's a reason why the NFL doesn't like, hey, you know what? 9:10 starts Sunday Night Super Bowl. When did it play, Kevin? 6:40 p.m. That's where you get the most eyeballs and the most recognition on the biggest game. It's genius.
Nobody is arguing that North Carolina San Diego State would get more viewers if it tipped at 7 p.m. But Donnie, the television network owns both entities and wants both to perform very well, and in order to execute. Now, you want to tell me, hey, listen, start the 16-16 game at 5 o'clock.
Yes.
I have no problem with that. You saying flip them is wrong.
The problem is the time. Yes. You start Alabama at 4:30 this afternoon.
No
Alabama
problem.
Alabama State St. Francis will do decent numbers. The Hoopheads, again, will watch. And then everybody will settle in. Like, the official start to the tournament is North Carolina.
No problem with that, too.
I just feel like 50% of your fans that would like to watch that entire game won't have the ability to do that. That's the issue. Like, how could you do this? Like, people make stupid decisions all the time. When I look at the ratings, like, remember when the girls' championship for women's basketball, they moved it to set, like, oh my God, look at the numbers it's doing in the afternoon. Kate and Clark are part of that? Absolutely. But when every single person in the country can watch your product, it's better for your product. When half the country is out on North Carolina, San Diego State because of the time you put it at, I'm sorry. That's horrendous scheduling.
No,
horrendous.
Again, I have no problem with, let's move up the 16-16 game.
Yes.
Time
is the problem.
Yeah. My argument here is saying, because the lead-in was swap the start times. That is wrong.
Yes,
if you want to say move up to 16-16, that is fine.
Yes.
There's no problem with that. I mean, this is a sport that starts their national championship game at 9:30. So
it's like a great Ponzi scheme. Like, we have to always, like, we can't have too good of numbers for some odd reason. Like, make me commissioner of this stuff. We would never have issues and people would absolutely love it, which we love Thursday and Friday of the tournament, because it's understanding. It's almost like a holiday. You're going to watch basketball all the way through. If you can't, you're at work. You have so many devices to watch it and you will get those ratings. Otherwise, they wouldn't put them there. But I just look at this and say, what a missed opportunity, where you give us maybe the worst basketball game that we're going to watch over the past 5 years in the tournament is probably St. Francis, Alabama. And you're going to be like, hey, hopefully you guys hang around. I'm telling you right now, please, please have this happen. Double overtime, St. Francis, Alabama State. Please do it for me so I can get a 10-plus tip time in Dayton, because then everybody starts getting up. So, like, now this is unfair. Like, we're not going to get out of here till 1 a.m. Then we got to fly to our new city, and 2 days later we got to have a game. Please do that. Like, wreck this whole business, because theoretically, Kevin, if you want to be fair, St. Francis, Alabama State should be 2 o'clock. Carolina should be at 5:30, none the latest, so they can get out of town to their next city.
I will say, someone explain yourself as to why the UNC San Diego State game winner isn't playing until Friday. Like, someone has to explain themselves on that. That doesn't seem normal.
What about the Wednesday? So what about the Wednesday one? They go Friday again?
There's three of the play-in teams are playing Friday.
Yeah, I don't know how that one works out. But here we are, underway. Come on now, 20 line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, now, right back at it here on a Tuesday. Get the dancing shoes on. A lot of fun to be have. Two games tonight, two games tomorrow, and away we go. I do want to spend some time handicapping those games and maybe a broader picture of the tournament as well. But I also want to focus on, once again, Kevin, just, you know, commissioners and how they do things. I don't know, because I'll preface it by saying this. Last year, the Philadelphia Phillies and the New York Mets played a overseas series, two games, in Britain, in the UK, Tottenham, whatever stadium they were at. It was great. Fanfare was cool. The time frames you could watch those games, enjoyed every minute of it. You know what I would have been furious at, Kevin? If the Phillies and the Mets had played overseas to start the season at 6 a.m. for me as a fan. And the reason I say this is, you have the Cubs and the Dodgers in Japan, a week and a half ahead of the season. Kevin, why couldn't they play these two games in Japan on opening day where you open the season? Why couldn't we have done that? A 6 a.m. start, like, you know what? This is really interesting. Like, the NFL goes over and plays in the UK, and we start them at 9 o'clock as opposed to a 1 o'clock game. It sort of tips off your Sunday where it's expected. I can't believe Major League Baseball puts their biggest superstars in this spot where, again, the Dodgers, they got great fans. They're right up at 3 a.m., kids in school, going to your job. Probably not. Even 6 a.m. Like, I'm up early because, again, I'm hosting a show in the morning. I watch it. Baseball just does some things. And again, sports is the way I'm getting so upset today about, you know, the times for the college basketball. But baseball just with an unbelievable whiff on their quote-unquote opening day weekend here.
Second year in a row they've done it. Every single time someone hears about it for the first time, they are in disbelief. Nobody actually, when you go, yeah, you know they're going overseas to play games that count, and then they're going to come back and play more spring training games. Again, the simple analogy. If last year the NFL was so desperate to play in Brazil, they told the Eagles and the Packers, hey, listen, mid-August, you're going to play in Brazil. That's going to count. All right? And then also, on like, when you play week one, you'll be 1-0 or 0-1.
Huh?
Yeah, but like, you'll come back. You'll do week three preseason with everybody. What are you saying? What are you saying right now? What's happening? It's obviously ridiculous. And what's incredible, Donnie, is a 6 a.m. start in Japan for the World Series champions next Thursday would be better than what they are actually getting, because this insane sport has their opening day when, Donnie? Sweet 16 Thursday. Like, listen,
what a day. What a day.
DRS crushes all of these leagues for their start times. And there's always, you know, most times I'm like, I see where he's coming from, right? Even if we just went back and forth. No sport, though, more consistently, I think gets me even angrier than Donnie, than Major League Baseball. Like, yes, Donnie, you're right. It's a great day because at 1 o'clock we're going to have baseball. But you mean to tell me that for some reason the Mariners and the Athletics are playing at 10 o'clock that night when we're face deep in Sweet 16 action? I mean, are you even serious? I mean, really, what is going through? The World Series champs, Donniers, are going to be getting their rings during like a, you know, Duke versus Arizona game. I mean, come on. Come on.
It's the way it is. It's the way it is. Like the NDA, like, you know, Men in Black. You ever see that movie where there's no more lies or like just put it in front of your face? Like, the NBA does that to you right now. It's like, guys, we can do whatever we want in this season because nobody's going to pay attention. And by the time that the NCAA tournament is over, you get the neuralizer back out. Boom. Oh, NBA playoffs. Okay. The season actually begins now. Yeah. But there's no way really to avoid it. And same thing with baseball. Like, you are going to wind up and have your opening days based on, you know, which fields are going to come in, Sweet 16, Elite Eight. So it's unavoidable. But just the hypeness of going into it. And I always, like, the indictment for me, Kevin, is being a true baseball guy, which I get to in a second for you, is Ben and I were in the studio yesterday. Hey, look in the rundown. Oh, right. Baseball starts tomorrow. as we said with the Eagles and the Packers, would we ever enter in a studio and be like, that's right, Eagles, no. Packers open the season tomorrow.
Of course.
There
not.
You go.
Of course not.
There you go.
Like, you guys probably haven't done like your early line full, hey, like just do kind of MLB future pick six, I imagine, did not happen on Monday. I imagine it'll happen next Wednesday.
Next week. Correct.
Be right? Or Thursday.
Baseball show Sunday. Yeah.
Because even us in the gambling content space go, yeah, that's not the real opening day. You can play those games all you want. We're not doing any of that. The World Series favorites and defending champions are playing, right? It doesn't matter. Just shoo-shoo, move that along.
Let me ask you a question on this, too. Kevin, why did it have to be a regular season game for a two-game set? You don't
Cubs exactly.
And the Dodgers wouldn't go over there and just play two spring training games and the place wouldn't be decked out, full, sold out with all eyes of Japan and, you know, China watching that game anyway? Like, that's what I don't understand.
Well, but this is why, again, like, it's so upsetting to me. So I know you say that, like, listen, it can be unavoidable as it pertains to opening day.
Yeah.
For anybody that, okay, so what happens with March Madness? Is it is intoxicating because the conference tournaments are great. We get the brackets, and yesterday is terrible. Like, everyone knows how much I defend the NBA. Yesterday, they could have, it didn't matter. Okay. They could have had the Monstars out there. Nobody cared. We hit the games, but nobody really cared. Just get us to the tournament, right? So you get these play games, and you're like, oh my gosh, yes, perfect, right? And that's why you're like, all right, I'm into it. And then Thursday, this is the best day of my life. Saturday, this is still going on. So this is perfect. And then you get in Monday and you're like, all right, deep breath, everybody. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. And on Tuesday, you're like, can we get something back in our lives? And instead of baseball being like, Tuesday, Wednesday, blowout, we're back, baby. That Thursday when we're all like, thank goodness college hoops is back. Baseball's like, hey, anybody want to give us attention? No! Yep. No,
you're right.
Why weren't you playing 2 days ago?
By the way, because we're coming up on the break right here. I don't know why it happened in the past, but obviously it doesn't happen anymore. And it pertains to the NCAA March Madness tournament. It was interesting why it was here. It's no longer here. I want to see if Kevin understands what I'm talking about here. More hot topics on the way. We're going to get to those games tonight. I think there are a couple angles to play, even if nobody's going to watch the Carolina game. Shame you can't watch it. We'll be back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sometimes remind yourself, like on the fly, like something that happened in the past couple years. I want to say it was the COVID years, Kevin. Like, let's just go maybe, I don't know, 2021. I could be wrong with this, which is why it's fun to talk about and sort of spitballing. But do you remember when the NCAA tournament, Kevin, was Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, opening weekend? Do you remember that?
Yes, like, I do.
We were working together when that was the case, right? Yeah, but I don't remember the reasoning behind it. Something to do with COVID, I want to say, but I'm not sure. But it really like broke your brain. Like, no, we're used to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And it was like, wait a second. If we can wait one more day, we get Friday, Saturday, Sunday, but then we get Monday, which is, again, like the worst day. Like the decompression on Monday is real. Like, where is this in my life? And they gave it to us Monday, but we don't like change. I was just reminded if people reminded that.
But that wasn't that long ago, right? Like, I don't remember. I think you and I were on air together doing early line, and that was the case.
Why would they take Mondays. It away? Like, yes, I don't, like, why was it? I completely forget, and I could be
wrong.
You
know wrong, what it probably was, Donnie? You got in the room, and you were like, you know how much better ratings we'll get if we do Sunday? And they were like, yeah, you're right. Like, that's, like, you think about it, but based on all of your, like, I understandable feelings on it. Like, of course they were like.
Didn't they do it the next weekend, which was Sweet 16 and Elite 8? Didn't start, I guess, until Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday again, as opposed to Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Man, yeah. I'm like, it's such an odd twerk where it actually makes sense because as you wait through the week, you can wait it out. Like, the Monday, and again, even after Elite 8, Sweet 16, it's like, I got to wait a whole week till, like, you know, I get to the Final Four. Like, it is a decompression where we're like, I can't believe they're taking away the Thursday, but then it's like, that Monday's not too bad now at this point. Yeah, it's weird.
Like, Donnie, that Wednesday is free, and baseball's like, we're off. We're getting ready for the season. Yeah. Like, what is the NBA? Is the NBA throwing out anything good on that Wednesday? Let's Celtics Suns. I mean, they thought it would be good. It's not. Bucks. See, this is where I do appreciate how Nuggets fans feel like the NBA absolutely hates them. Donnie, on that Wednesday, Bucks Nuggets, and it's not even on national TV. Like, like, no thanks.
Why waste? Nobody likes Jokic, best player in the world. Nobody wants to watch a guy play. Box office. He's like box office gold. You talk about guys, the opposite of like, look, we can't put a good basketball player on a good basketball team on that night. But the NBA, I mean, there are some trouble there. And I love the fact that the NBA is like dipping into these teams. I'm like, no, understand this. How did you sit your entire starting five the other night? And like,
so good.
You know what I mean? Just dip out. But that's an NBA issue where like Paul George, he could play the rest of the season. Six, like, we can't win any more games. Do got injections. Who even knows if he got them? He's out for the year.
But the best is they're like, all right, so here's who we're investigating. Sixers, maybe the Raptors.
Then the best.
Nets. And then the Thunder. You know, what you did against Portland. It's like, we won that game by 30.
Yeah.
Like, what, leave us alone.
We got so many write-ins from the Portland crowd that they hate their team. They were just waiting for OKC, and now it's a class action lawsuit. Like, the one thing I will respect about the NFL, every, like, week 18 is like, these teams are on the right to do whatever the hell they want today. Leave us alone because of the Eagles fiasco against Washington. It's like, hey, the Giants could have won the division, but the Eagles were like, we want Devontae Smith. We don't care if you win your division. Yeah. We are tanking this fourth quarter. So I do give a credit to that, but the NBA, man. Like, you got to snoop into every team. Like, now, why aren't you guys playing your starters? Well, here's the reason why.
All right. So yesterday, right? So again, I'm working game time decisions. Mm-hmm. We're, of course, going to do a lot of tournament.
Yeah.
But I have to cap the NBA board for our audience.
Yeah.
And Donnie, I'm going through these games, and it's like the whole team's on the injury report for New Orleans. Whole team's on the injury report for Denver. Whole team's on the injury report for the Lakers. And I'm like, I can't, you know, because we have to cap the board earlier, right? 2 o'clock. That's just what it is. And I'm just like, you know, and I had my looks. I had my looks, but it was just not a slate you can even really get into. Because the Pacers, Donnie, right? Rule out the entire starting five, like right before tip. You know what I mean? They were all questionable. It's just, you know, it's just what it is. It's, and again, I'm not, I just want to make this clear because I always have to. I'm like, it is what it is. Like, it doesn't bother me, but it just makes it tricky because this is how the NBA, especially in March, man. The NBA does treat March like a little mini vacation.
Yep. Line up for the playoffs to get to that point. And also, like, because yesterday, like, I had the Golden State Warriors at 3:30 on the morning show. I woke up, I saw the game. I was like, oh, man, Nuggets actually really came to play. Then I saw like the headlines. I'm like, wait a second. This game went from 3.5 to 13.5, and they lost outright almost by double digits. 13.5 at game time. Yeah. 13.5 at game time. Outright winners almost by 10 points. Like, if FanDuel would have came to me and said, hey, Donnie, we'll give you 75% profit back, you'll just miss the 25. Like, no. This is a lock. Give me 100%. I'm going to watch this game play out, and they lost that game. Amazing. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it, having a good time here on a Tuesday edition of Moneyline. We got games tonight. Now, we're going to dip into these two games. I do have a couple looks on those. I haven't finalized them, which means I'm playing them yet, but we used this, and I had fun last week, Kevin, like with the conference tournaments, you know, you being away on Wednesdays and like just straight up capping days, every game on the card. It was a lot of fun. We'll do that certainly much more in Major League Baseball. That's just around the horizon. But betting philosophy does change for me in the NCAA tournament. It sounds like team totals I will always look at, overs and unders. Totals for the game, always look at overs and unders. But in the tournament, Kevin, I tend to stay away unless I'm taking money line. When I say that is -3.5, -2.5, -1.5. If I like that side decidedly, I won't even lay the points. I'll just take the money line. But I love to take points in the tournament, and it's been so good to me. The teams that I'm looking at, because I haven't done the research, like let's just go KenPom game by game, which is out right now. One at a time, because yesterday, a little bit hectic in the studio, tired, you know, coming off the weekend.
Yeah.
But today and tomorrow seem like perfect days to sort of sink my teeth into. But for me, I love taking the points in the tournament. Why? because every team is really good. And also, from a favorites perspective, there is no aggregate. Hey, we better run this up by 20 points because we get a better seeding in the Elite Eight or the Sweet 16. All you want to do is win and get the hell out of there. And for the teams that are sort of fighting, like, they're never giving up. They're never walking off the court with 30 seconds left down eight when you got to cover five. They're trying to splash threes and hurry it up, and crazy things can happen. So philosophy-wise for me, I switched to taking the points in the tournament. That doesn't mean, Kevin, like, I'm betting, like, every session three games with teams with the point. Like, maybe Thursday, two games. Friday, two games. Saturday, a game. Sunday, two games. But picking out spots where I think that team can compete and wouldn't be shocked if they won outright.
Yeah, I have circled up a few spots. As always, I likely won't finalize things until Wednesday. Now, I will say this, and I did this with the bowl games, and I will do this with March Madness. Mm-hmm. The second I place a side, I will tweet it out. Mm-hmm. Because I did that last night with San Diego State. We can get into the approach on the game. But last night, Donnie, I saw the 5.5 out there on FanDuel. You sometimes can kind of go through like the movement of numbers and how long things were available. But I looked around. It was 1 point higher than everywhere. And on some of the odds board, they haven't even made the adjustment of like, oh yeah, FanDuel's giving you 5.5. I knew that San Diego State late night plus 5.5 was the best of the number, which is why I made sure to tweet that out to everybody.
Man, it's good. That's, you know what's funny? You said that. Because I really wasn't even like taking a look at numbers. This is, oh my goodness, there is a lot. Like, this is maybe the biggest movement I've seen. Like, usually like an NFL game comes out, it might move like 5 or 6 times.
Yeah.
I got these things moving like every 5 minutes on just this game, which is funny you brought that up because it looks like a lot of late night action where I was just looking at it 3.5 yesterday or in that range to like 4.5. So like, oh, there. I never even knew it got to 5.5 as I'm looking at it right now. Steam on, steam off, steam on, steam off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And I'm interested to see because I obviously the game we're talking about right now is a line that sits 4.5 across the board. Heavy action on Carolina. And I do think, and we're going to get into the handicapping now, this Carolina-San Diego State game, but 5.5 is great. Like, I like San Diego State at 4.5. I actually was asleep. I never even knew it hit 5.5 until you just told me that. Because when I woke up, it was still 4.5 all the way through the show. So that is a good one here. That's a good
like,
one.
Like, I don't know if it says, like how long was that up and available for? Like, because I was up late night doing work. I took it. I tweeted it. I'll pull up.
I sent that tweet out. We had 4.5s all day bouncing back and forth between like juice of 4.5. Then the steam headed at 9:48 last night to go from 4.5 to 5.5. Now check this out. At 10:06, which would have been about 18 minutes later, goes back to 4.5. 14 minutes later, it goes back to 5.5. 6 minutes later, goes back to 4.5. 5 minutes later, 5.5. Five minutes later, 4.5. Steam then action hits it again to push it to 5.5 at 10:46. Goes back to 4.5, 4 minutes later. 8 minutes later, back to 5.5.
Wow.
And then it looks like it went 3 minutes later, back to 4.5. 6 minutes later, back to 5.5. I've never seen action like that before. And then it finally, you saw the number change 7:36 this morning. So right when I was probably in the shower, that 5.5 disappeared and went back to 4.5 and hasn't changed from 7:42 a.m. to 10:32. Now, this is just FanDuel, just to give you an opportunity of where I was looking at. But that many moves in that few minutes, that's insane.
Yeah, that's really bizarre. I sent my tweet out at 10:18 last night. And I, again, like I sent it out about as soon as I clicked because I knew, like, okay, this doesn't look to be the number anywhere else, right? So, you know, clearly the number was getting ping-ponged around on FanDuel. And listen, admittedly, getting the best of the number is always, listen, that thing, like you said, started at 3.5 to get up to 5.5 was a lot. I have defended North Carolina being in the tournament. It doesn't mean I love them to route and roll in this game. Did you have a big issue with them being in the tournament?
No. The issue, like, because I kept making my point saying, we were told all along what we're supposed to watch out for. Carolina didn't fit those metrics. And then the committee told us, like, yeah, well, they have some other opportunities. If you would have taught, because my angle was, Kevin, if nobody ever told me anything about what the criteria was for the tournament, and North Carolina made it, and I'm like, yeah, they play a tough schedule, and All right, going to, I could see where they maybe made that point. But yeah. Quad one, which is all anybody talked about for 2 weeks. And then all of a sudden it was like, well, quad one's not really all that important. I was like, okay, that's what made me upset. But Carolina in tournament is better for West Virginia getting in. Nobody really cares. Carolina getting in. Technically, nobody cares. But if you're saying, Donnie, who should be in there? Give me Carolina. Fun team to bet. Fun brand. Absolutely. It's about money.
So let me say this. Okay, I sent out a tweet. I was hoping you'd see it. You must have not, because I think it was just right up your alley.
All right.
And the tweet was, college basketball not making the same mistake as college football and respecting their blue bloods. And I don't care what anybody says. How people treated Alabama during the college football season was embarrassing. Mm. People were falling over themselves to leave one of the pillars of college football out of the playoff. Mm-hmm. Swearing up and down it was best for the sport.
Yes.
And North Carolina became the same exact thing.
Mm-hmm.
So count me in now firmly in the Donnie right side camp of I'll defend the big guy when it comes to these teams. Because it is actually insane that people are like, oh, North Carolina. Yes, what do you, North Carolina. What? You nuts? What are you talking about? Yeah. It's like, are you? I don't even know what's happening anymore. Are you a college basketball fan? By the way, because this is the stuff I can't stand. Being a college basketball fan doesn't mean I love the Mountain West. Oh, you haven't watched enough Conference USA this year. Mm-hmm. Cut it out, man. Cut it out. Okay? Like that. We don't listen. Drake is in. UC San Diego's in. McNeese is in. It's all good. It's all good. We got 4 or 5 Mountain West teams. It's all good. Okay?
Like I love the argument, too, of like when you bring the SEC in, because people just have preconceived hate notions, and you sort of break it down and say, forget about the notions. You're telling me you don't want the best brands and the fun teams and the biggest accounts to be in, is what you're saying. Like, I want the young. And I understand it. Like, there is a time and place for that. But when you take a look at, like, Carolina making it in, like, compare it to Duke. Cooper Flagg goes down, Kevin, and people are like, yes. I'm saying, so you don't want the best player in the country on a really good basketball team being full strength in NCAA where we all would enjoy every single game. It'd be better if, shame is Duke, and I'm glad. Like, what does that even mean? Like, when would you cheer it if the best player was on Cincinnati? Like, Kenny Martin broke his leg 20 years ago on the best team. It's like, so happy. Like, no, like, people just have the wrong priorities. Your goal, and again, I always joke about this too, Kevin. We love Cinderellas like Drake until they start beating the Blue Bloods. You're like, man, this game would have been great if Carolina was here instead of Drake. We always do that. It's great in the moment, but terrible for the next day. Yeah, give me more Blue Bloods. Come on now. Let's go.
I'll just say this, okay? Maybe the predictive metrics aren't everything, but the predictive metrics told us North Carolina didn't belong in the bubble. They should have been about an 8 or 9 seed. So again, just cut it out, all right?
All right, let's handicap these two games coming up next. St. Francis, Alabama State, North Carolina, San Diego State up next right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
St. Francis, Pennsylvania, taking on Alabama State from Dayton. 6:40 p.m. start, 3.5 opening 9, 3.5 across the board right now. This is what you're going to get used to a lot as well. For me, like, I love totals during the season. Like versus like competition. One team's at least home in their home gym. Comfortable environment. Team's usually been there before. Not the case anymore. You're in Dayton. This line opened up, Kevin. The game number one, 142.5, now down to 138.5. Game number two, even though we have two better scoring teams, technically, 144.5, the opening number, down to 142. Taking a look at tomorrow's games, Kevin, just to get ahead of ourselves. Mount St. Mary's American, 134.5, the opening number, now sits 128.5. The only game that hasn't moved, Xavier, Texas, 149.5, still at 149.5, which is a high number. So let me get your thoughts on this. Betting blindly just to unders here. And I'm not just saying like, hey, well, let me take every game and maybe I'll win three more than I don't and I just juice out. How do you feel about, because that's discounts. They are giving you discounts on the total, but I still like unders in both of them, to be honest.
Yeah, I was a little tempted in the under in the North Carolina San Diego State game. I don't think I'm going to get there. Of course, we've already discussed. I settled on the side within this game. I will look hand up. I've not yet had the opportunity to go through your other play-in games just yet, so I'm not loaded for bear on those. I think what's interesting, though, is I feel as if more than ever before, Donnie, I am seeing a lot of talk on tournament unders, but specifically first half unders. Yes. It appears to be one of those, look, close your eyes trends, and you're going to come out with money. Mm-hmm. I think for me, though, listen, trends can typically hit a level where you go, all right, they're going to start to really change these things around. And you may end up with a situation where your full, let's say your full game total is 140 and a half. So your first half total then is probably around 65 and a half, right? They're not even. They're not cut down the middle. If you get a 140 and a half and a first half total 62 and a half, that shows that, okay, they're now, you're paying a huge tax on first half unders, which I just think something people should be keeping an eye out for.
Yeah. No, it's, and again, it's ebbs and flows. It's what you're comfortable with. But some of these teams have been off like roughly a week by the time they get going. High pressure stage in Dayton. Yeah. Not like San Diego State not playing in their home time zone at that point. So there's a lot of different things. But if we are looking at the second game, North Carolina, San Diego, nationally, UNC's offense is 22nd in efficiency. San Diego State, always their calling card is defense. They're 13th. It's great. Turnover percentage, Carolina doesn't turn it over that much. San Diego will turn you over. So almost null and void. But here's the fun part about where we get to. It's really when you take a look at what San Diego State does well on defense. They're going to let you shoot the three-point shot. 354th in the nation at volume from three. It's only 360-odd teams in the country. So they'll let you pull up there. But they defend it in the top 20, which is interesting to me. Carolina will shoot the three-point shot, not overwhelmingly as part of their offense, but about 37% of their shots come from three-point range. They do make a decent amount, 35%. So you say, all right, well, what does that mean where RJ Davis, Shelly Cadeau, getting to the rim. They're an athletic team. Man, San Diego State, Kevin, is stingy inside the arc. Point distribution, which means how much of your defense and where you allow it from. Free throw line, 3-point line, and inside the arc. 360th, Kevin. Almost the best team in the country at defending with point differential inside the two. And also, top 10 in percentage at 45%. They get a 6'10 guy and a 7-footer coming back tonight in this game. So when I look at Carolina and I say to myself, if they can knock down the 3-point shot, that's great. That's not their calling card. And also when you have a team like San Diego State that goes, we'll let you shoot it, but we'll chase you at the 3-point line to allow a top 20 percentage. I look at that for myself and I say, because I know you're already on that side, but to me, it looks like San Diego State's defensive matchup and footprint really matches up well against Carolina.
Yeah, I love what I'm hearing there. I think for me, one of the reasons that that 5.5 was such an activate spot, that's what we saw North Carolina lay to Wake Forest in the second game that they played in ACC tournament action. San Diego State is essentially a better version of Wake Forest, right? It's just some of the surface numbers, right? Yeah. Defensive rating, offensive rating, tempo, things like that. So I felt good about their opportunity in that respect. And one of the tricky things with some of the ACC teams you'll have to cap is they didn't send a lot of teams to the tournament, obviously, North Carolina, Louisville, Clemson, and Duke. And some of those games are very separated. So, you know, you try and find comp spots, right? Say, Nani, on a North Carolina schedule. All right, when did they play at least like a good team? When did they play a team that was this good defensively? You know, you have to go to the Clemson game, which was over a month ago. Duke's obviously a completely different stratosphere. The Louisville game was forever ago. Now you're poking around out of conference games against UCLA, for example. So it becomes very, very tricky with, you know, the ACC resume, the when of it all. But I think San Diego State, and here's the other thing. UNC has played low-scoring games, I feel, up against some upper echelon defense under games. So if this is going to be an under game, 5.5 points can be valuable. Listen, if you told me right now, hey, who do you think wins the game? I have to probably tell you San Diego State, but they don't have to win this game for me to win my bet. 5.5 is enough points to stay in the range here.
And also understand this, as Kevin was bringing up to, usually you'd say to yourself, like, again, the SEC in football, you can not just say the SEC in basketball is tremendous. Yeah. But the ACC they play in, Mountain West, a little bit different. Kevin, Ken Pom's ratings, 5 and 6. Right next to each other between the ACC and the Mountain West. So no longer are you saying, like, step up in competition for the Mountain West. No, it's not. They're right there at the ACC based on this year's statistics. So it won't be a surprise if they play well. So for me, just looking at numbers, I think that's the right play. Total-wise, again, it's really more of a crapshoot on what you think is going to take place. But for me, probably if you're saying like under-wise and you don't want to take, let's just say, San Diego State, it's probably a team total North Carolina to the under, which I did hit an under with North Carolina in the ACC tournament already. Mm. Where it's like, all right, if I don't think, because San Diego State does not want to say, what's that total? 142.5. Awesome. This game ended up at 155. They probably got beat in that game because that's Carolina's game. If this game stays under the total, it means San Diego State goes, we played great defense and we didn't get out of our offensive metrics, which we love to let it burn. And by the way, shot clock there, one of the best teams against the shot clock on defense is San Diego State. They will extend possessions on the offense. Interesting handicap. Let's get to game number two next, St. Francis and Alabama State, right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
St. Francis, Alabama State. Get ready for this one. And I don't want to be kind or be mean. Could this be the worst tournament game in the history of the sport? Could it be?
No.
Who was worse?
Any other one of these play-in games. They're all terrible.
Like, did they say St. Francis, the worst team they've ever seen, metric-wise?
Oh, I'm sure. But here's the thing, Donnie. Like, tomorrow's 16 game, total 129.5. So, like...
Yeah, but I'm talking about two teams, though. I mean, you can have a bad team get, points, but... I try to handicap this game. It comes down to one... Did you handicap this? Do you have a side on this game?
No, not yet. I'm gonna get in there. Shout out to the SWAC, but I'm not in there yet.
Like the one thing usually you think SWAC, just real out of control basketball, up and down the court.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't turn the basketball over at all. Alabama State, top five in the country, holding the ball. Their defense does turns you over a little bit, but here's the difference, Kevin. St. Francis's offense, 321st in the nation at turning it over, abysmal. Alabama State, top five at not turning it over. Alabama State likes to shoot the 3-point shot. Doesn't do a great job with it, about 33% as a team. St. Francis does defend it decently, but will let you shoot it. So look at the styles that make fights. Alabama State's offense, they like to shoot 43% of the time from three-point range. St. Francis defense, Kevin, lets you shoot three-point range 43% of the time. So I look at Alabama State just in the metrics of, wait, one team's turning it over, the other team's going to hold it. One team actually likes to shoot the three. You'll let us shoot the three. Like, for me, it actually feels like Alabama State is the better look in this game, even though I probably won't bet it. But I do think that means a big deal. Don't turn it over. Win the game.
Yeah, the one thing I know is that St. Francis of PA being here is a pretty sizable upset. Central Connecticut, I believe, was able to host that championship game. And I was on their team total over.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a bad pick. They lost that game. While only allowing, 49 points. I think they lost at 49-46. Oh, it's in the
40s. Yes, correct. Correct.
So, it's always noteworthy. And I'll just say this for brackets as well, just to kind of... When you're looking at your lower-level teams, try and figure out if they are supposed to even be here, right? Like McNeese, Drake, right? They ran through their conferences. The Akron, right? They ran through their conferences. They are supposed to be here. Some of those teams that kind of pulled off those upsets, like even being here as a surprise, it can then be tough to go again, kind of now when you're playing the upper level of the country.
Yeah. It's. I'm interested to see how it plays out tonight because I always equate to, I tell Ben, preseason game opens up, Hall of Fame game's oh man, football's back in my life. Love it. And then you're like, well, I don't really know these players. They don't care about it. All right, I'm out after a series or two. That first game, St. Francis, Alabama State, unless you have action on you watching it, that's not a game where it's like, hey, man, let me pull up and get to know these teams because they'll be bounced out quickly anyway. But it is the first game. So it does come with a, hey, man, tournament's underway. Got to check in. I just want to see how it goes. And also, are we going to get proved right on North Carolina? Is this referendum night? Like, I told you they should have been in. I should have been out. Like, it feels like that's the way it's going to turn out tonight. Absolutely.
No, it doesn't matter. So that's like the one thing that I'll. So this is going to be pretty good. Look, here's a warning to our good friend BSS.
Uh-oh.
If North Carolina gets rolled tonight, he will send out a number of they didn't belong in tweets.
I like it.
And then I will have no choice, Donnie, but to quote tweet those with the SMU final scores and the Indiana final scores. Mm. Because a lot of people defended those college football decisions with, all right, you can't go and change history now based on how the playoff game went.
Yep. I just keep it consistent. I told you. You know? That's what they're going to be saying tomorrow.
It's great. That button always throws me off. It's too effective. All right, close it out with your Tobin Anderson.
I can't even believe that. Yeah, exactly. Who?
Come on. Tobin Anderson.
Yeah, come on.
I can't believe you weren't here yesterday. We had a great chat.
That was a shame. I was hammering Iona.
Were you?
Yes, like Iona. Like Brick brought them like out of like rising like the Phoenix out of the ashes.
You were misbehaving. No. Is the only way to call it.
We talked about it three different times, and I had to take the mic over. Yeah, he was trying to keep it moving, but I just kept on like driving that dagger in. Patino leaves like with the cupboard full, an unbelievable program, and this is how you treat him 2 years later? Come on, man. Yeah. Offer more money, get him back. I'm thinking a return trip after they get knocked out in St. John's.
That's a good take. Everybody wants
his head. Round one, St. John's gets knocked out. He's back to Iona in the Rochelle. Everybody's happy at this point. You know, this is happy college basketball fans tonight. For JP Bond, the Wizards, still down the right side. And the Bulls, see you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.